Hi, I'm Dominic Encinas, leader of The Heart. I want to welcome you to The Heart Podcast. Thank you for letting us be a small part in your journey of faith. I hope this message today encourages you and strengthens you. Big things can happen when we expect God to move, so I pray today that God would speak to you through this message.
We are in the third week of our message series, Perspective, and this has been a lot of fun for me. To dig into this idea of perspective, and throughout the last couple of weeks, and today and next week, the whole idea, right? It's maybe a little bit simple, but it's worth digging into. Is when we can shift our perspective, if we can change our perspective, that can change what we're looking at, right? Literally and metaphorically. Is we can change our perspective, and now our situation is different. Even though nothing changes, the way we look at it differently can change a situation. And what I want to dig into today kind of drills that point down a little bit, but I want to talk about things being relative. Does anybody remember watching Friends, the show Friends? Remember there was a game that they played that Ross hosted. I know this is aging me a little bit. That Ross hosted, and there was a category called It's All Relative. Does anybody remember that? It's okay if you don't. So today I want to dig into how our perspective, when we look at things, if we look at them relative to what, right? So it's going to dip a little bit into comparison maybe, but not quite. So there's a story I want to read that's in the book of Matthew. And we did this last week where I want to read the whole parable, right? Jesus sometimes, when he was talking to people or teaching things, he would speak in parables, right? Instead of saying what he was saying, and sometimes he'd be like, Jesus, will you just say it? He'd be like, well, let me tell you a story about it, right? What do you think about this story? Let me take you on a journey through a story and see if you can pick up what I'm trying to say through this story. And it was actually brilliant because here we are thousands of years later, and we're reading these stories and gathering meaning, right? We looked at last week, if you weren't here last week, we talked about the parable of the prodigal son, right? And from the perspective of the younger brother who left and went away and went broke and then came back, it looked like very much forgiveness and safety and hope and home. But from the perspective of the other brother who stayed there, who kept doing chores, who stayed by his dad, he was like, why do we get to celebrate this guy who left and only came back when he was broke? And so there's different perspectives of the same thing happening. And so I want to read this parable here. this is the parable of the vineyard workers. So I think this gives permission for all the moms to have a glass of wine today since we're talking about the vineyard, so you're fine. Okay, check this out. Jesus says, for the kingdom of heaven is like. We did a series years ago where we looked at parables, and I loved, each one of these parables that we looked at started with, the kingdom of heaven is like. And it was always so interesting to me. I can't remember which series it was, but it was so interesting to me that Jesus would say, instead of the kingdom of heaven is, it would say the kingdom of heaven is like. And I just think it's such a brilliant touch of teaching and storytelling to kind of like, maybe it's just not that simple, and it's something that we need to wrap our minds around and our hearts around and our spirits around it and translate and retranslate and look at it again and find different meaning in it throughout our lives. That's what's so brilliant about a story, in my opinion. So, all right, here we go. This is chapter 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like the landowner who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay the normal daily wage and sent them out to work. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and saw some people standing around doing nothing, so he hired them, telling them he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. So they went to work in the vineyard. At noon and again at 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. And at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, he was in town again and saw some more people standing around, and he asked them, "Why haven't you been working today?" They replied, "Because no one hired us." And the landowner told them, "Then go out and join the others in my vineyard." That evening, he told the foreman to call the workers in and pay them, beginning with the last workers first. When those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's wage. When those hired first came to get their pay, they assumed they would receive more. But they too were paid a day's wage. When they received their pay, they protested to the owner, those who worked only 1 hour, those people worked only 1 hour, and yet you've paid them just as much as you paid us who worked all day in the scorching heat. You know, kind of embellishing there a little bit, right? Scorching, you know, let's take it easy. Really selling that to the landowner. He answered one of them, friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be jealous because I am kind to others? And then verse 16, Jesus says, so those who are last now will be first then, and those who are first will be last. And I got to be honest with you. I don't know what that means. But here's what I'm pulling from this story, and I want to go back and focus on 10 through 12, or at least that last part. I'm not quite sure. Last will be first will be last. Sounds like something you'd see on a bumper sticker or something like a Buddhist would say, and you're like, interesting. Don't know what you mean by that. So verse 10 through 12, let's go back to that. When those hired first came to get their pay, they assumed they would receive more, but they too were paid a day's wage. When they received their pay, they protested to the owner, those who worked only 1 hour, those people only worked 1 hour, and yet you paid them just as much as you paid us who worked all day in the scorching heat. Seems a little unfair. But it's only unfair depending on your perspective. Because if people weren't being paid out in the open, if everyone came into the office one by one, would anyone have left disgruntled? Would anyone have left frustrated? Would anyone have complained? In this thought experiment, you would probably say, no. Well, why? Because when they go in, they receive their pay one at a time with the landowner or the foreman or whatever it is. They were receiving exactly what they agreed to receive in exchange for what they agreed to give. But what changes the perspective of the people that were there first is now their pay is relative to how much work they did and relative to how much work somebody else did. Now they're ungrateful for what they've been paid. When in the morning, they were grateful to have been hired. What a gift to need work for the day, be hired for the day, and receive a full day's wage. Could you imagine? But at the end of the day, they were upset. They felt like they were treated poorly, treated unfairly. You might even think, if you were one of these workers, they were the first of the day, you might even think, well, what a waste of a day. You mean I could have slept in, gone to brunch? Big brunch crew out here, I can tell. Moseyed around the market and wait to get hired at 5, and I could have gotten paid the same amount? And now imagine you're the people that got hired at 5 p.m. You've been looking for work all day. You've wanted to work. You've wanted to use your hands to be a part of something, to help do something. And no one has hired you. And now you get hired right before the end of the day, right when you really, really needed it. You get hired. You get seen. You get chosen. You get picked. And you say, I'm happy to do it. Which one of those people would be more grateful? And it might be easy to say, well, they're more grateful because they got more money. But they didn't get more money. They only got more money relative to somebody else. So you could argue, and I'm about to, that these people who got hired at the end would be more grateful for being able to receive work. Not because they got more money for a little bit of work. Not because they got to, you know, pull the wool over the eyes of the landowner, sneak one past the landowner, right? Can you believe this sucker who paid us a full day's wage for working an hour and a half? I doubt that that is the kind of mentality these people here at the last part of the day had. How grateful would you be if you needed that job and you got one at the last minute? Arguably, you'd be more grateful than anybody there. And so I think about this kind of story that And I think about my life, the things that happen in life. And tell me if you're like this in different areas of your life too, where sometimes you're frustrated at yourself for not being as far along as where you thought you would be. Whether that be in your faith, or that be at your job, or the kind of spouse you want to be, or boyfriend or girlfriend that you want to be, or the type of parent that you want to be, the type of employee that you want to be. You feel like, well, I should be farther along. I am incredibly guilty of this, of setting these high impossible standards for myself and then constantly feeling low for not having met these standards. Like, I set myself up almost to fail. Like, you could have done better. You could have been better. You could have said that better. You could have acted a little kinder. Could have had a little more patience. And if I think about it for myself, and this is what I want for you to be thinking about today, okay, as you leave today for this week, is where are the areas of your life that you feel like, I wish I was further along in this? I wish I was further, I wish I was more patient. I wish I was more loving. I wish I was more spiritual. I wish I was closer to God. I wish I was more involved in my community. I wish I was further along at work. Wherever that is in your life, because here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to do for, and I'm going to do this too, is I want us to compare, not with somebody else. That's a dangerous game that no one ever wins. I want us to compare with ourselves, but not from where we were yesterday, or maybe that's what it is. Let's compare. How much progress have you made in your faith, in your parenting, in your hobby, whatever your hobby is? How much progress have you made from today to yesterday? Maybe not much. How much progress have you made from today last week? Maybe a little bit more, maybe not. What about a year ago? What about 5 years ago? What about 10 years ago? Would the person 10 years ago, would you 10 years ago look at you now today and say, all right, well, you've made a little bit of progress. You haven't totally blown it. That's how I talk to myself. It's not kind, but it's relative to where we compare to. In fact, I wrote this down for y'all. Spiritual growth, your spiritual growth, is relative to where you start and where you're wanting to go. Because when it comes to our spiritual life, we don't all start at the same place. So if we're trying to compare to somebody else, we're missing the whole picture, because we all start at different places and we're all going different places. We all have different plans, different goals for our spiritual growth. Some people really want to be diligent prayers. They want to pray constantly, pray for people. Some of us forget to pray even before a meal or at church. I am one of those people. I don't hate praying. I just don't think about it as much. I enjoy it quite a bit. I just forget. So if I compared myself, do you see the dangerous game you get into? If I compared myself to someone who always remembers to pray, all of a sudden I'm looking down on myself and I'm discounting all of my spiritual growth that I've ever had because I don't pray as long or as eloquently or as heartfelt as this other person I know. But if I say, okay, relative to how I used to pray, are my prayers more meaningful than they used to be? Yeah, a little bit. Are my prayers more meaningful than they used to be last week? I don't know. Last year? Still not quite sure. 10 years ago? Yes, absolutely. So what you're comparing it to, where you're starting and where you're wanting to go, changes everything about the growth. Do you see this? So the growth that you've had, you won't be able to see it. And then you shift your perspective and you say, well, it's relative to this. And all of a sudden, you can see all of the growth. How is that possible? That is the power of perspective. That's what we've been talking about these last few weeks. I was reading this when I was getting prepared for this week. It was said something to the effect of, like, when you compare your growth to somebody else's, that's like trying to compare the growth of a tree to the growth of a flower, right? They grow differently. They do different things. They need different things. They thrive in different ways. A tree is not better than a flower, and a flower is not better than a tree. We got you flowers for Mother's Day, but if you look under seat, there are seeds for a flower. I mean, a tree. There's not. I ruined it. I wrote this down for you, too. How much you've grown depends on where, on when you're comparing it to. And I said when on purpose. How much you've grown depends on when you're comparing it to. When are you comparing whatever's going on right now? When are you comparing it to? Are you comparing it to yesterday? Because anybody who's ever watched their weight, let's say, and you step on a scale, sometimes you step on a scale, you've dieted all week, right? You've counted calories, you've walked your 10,000 steps, you've talked to everybody about sugar all week, right? And then you step on the scale and you've gained a pound, right? And you're demoralized. And it's the worst thing that could have happened, probably. Because from last week, you gained a pound. But what if you've been doing that? You've been keeping track and you've been sleeping well and whatever you want to do. And over the last 6 months, you've lost 30 pounds. But in the last week, you gained 1 pound. Would you feel like, well, compared to last week, that's a big fat bummer. Compared to 6 months ago, this is still pretty sweet. So the growth that you've had is dependent on when you're comparing it to. Now, forget weight or whatever, you know, anything else. What about your spiritual growth? Because I would argue on some level, all of us are here because we want to grow in our faith. We want to grow spiritually. We want to take steps in our faith. And so how can we say, all right, well, relative to when am I looking at my growth? Because there are most days, and I'm not saying you'll always feel like you're behind or there's more that you can do, but for most days, you probably might experience like, yeah, I'm perfectly fine where I am. It's just sometimes when we, like I said, compare ourselves to somebody else, or we get down on ourselves for wishing we were a little bit further along. Or maybe we're like some of these workers here in this story where you feel like, seems like they got a little bit of a head start. Or, you know, it must be nice to be so full of faith. If you would have experienced the things I've experienced in my life, maybe it wouldn't be so easy for you to think things are going to turn out all right. If you're sarcastic, which I am not. That was sarcasm. I wrote one more thing down for you. It's comparing your growth to that of someone else is the best way to lose perspective on how far you've come. To really do the best job of discounting everything you've worked on and everything you've done, quickly compare yourself to somebody else. Because there's always going to be somebody who is further along, and there's always going to be somebody who is way behind. And I put those in quotes because guess what? Somebody further along with you, further along than you, quote unquote, and somebody further behind you, quote unquote, is all, you want to take a guess at what I'm about to say? Relative to what you're comparing, to when you're comparing it to. That's the power of perspective. And I feel, I talk about this a lot, that I feel like God has given us an empowered faith. That God is with us, God is in us, God's working through us. But I feel like the faith that God has given us is just so empowering that we get to own it and be in it and be a part of it. Not just float around on God's chessboard and wait for him to move us and tell us what to do, that we get to own our faith and be a part of our faith and grow with our faith. So back to the example earlier, let's say you don't have a goal of being this really power prayer who wakes up in the middle of the night and prays for this and prays for Israel and prays for everyone in your family. And if you don't have a goal to do that, then you'll never feel like you're letting yourself down because you're not comparing yourself to that goal that you don't have. Is that a triple negative? You're not comparing yourself to the goal you don't. Double. That's fine. But if we shift our perspective and we give ourselves permission not to compare ourselves, the goals that we have, to what somebody else did or what we used to do long ago. And maybe compare is not the right word. Maybe it's not about comparing and not comparing. But I'd be lying if I said that there are times where I don't compare myself to the time before. I used to do a lot of running, treadmill running. Technically, it's still running, but those of you who are pure runners, I get it. And the more I would run, the more I would practice running, I would get a little bit faster, a little bit faster, a little bit faster. And then for the first part of this year, I didn't do as much running. Well, I got back on the treadmill last week, and it was pretty brutal. You know? And it wasn't that much. It wasn't that far. Wasn't that far compared to what, right? It wasn't that far relative to when? Relative to who? And I remember I was running next to this kid on the treadmill. He was maybe, he's not a kid, maybe 22, 23. And he was like, "Wow, man, you are fast." And I was like, "No, I'm not." Relative to what? Who am I to argue with what he thinks is fast? Maybe he thought I was fast for an old man. He didn't say that, but he meant it. I knew it. I'll talk to my therapist about that point later. But I'm looking at it, I'm like, well, no, that's not fast for me. But that is fast for me if I compare it to 6 years ago. That is fast for me if I compare it to 10 years ago. It's not fast for me if I compare it to a year ago. So instead of comparing, instead of finding out when to compare, why don't we let ourselves, why don't we give ourselves permission to be in the growth, to see the growth, even if it's small, even if it's incremental? How about we let ourselves see where God has grown us, see where God has put these things in our life to bring us further? Because every day you make it, every week you make it, every time you take a step forward, that is growth. You learn and you grow. You learn, you adjust, and you change, and then you grow. Comparing ourselves to others, it's so, it's absurd to do it because nobody is in the same spot. It'd be like comparing a mom who just had a newborn baby to a mom who has four kids who are in middle school and high school. And like, well, both of these moms should be the same type of mom. And you might say, no, why would they be? Everything is different. Ah, but they're both moms. So you could argue a few things are the same, but there's no logic to that. But yet we do that with other parts of our life. And so I want to invite you this week to remember that when you feel like you haven't grown, when you feel like you're struggling, when you feel like you're not quite where you want to be, to remember that it's relative to when you're comparing it to. Because it's okay to have not reached a goal yet. Maybe all of us in here have goals that we haven't quite reached yet. But to discount everything that has come behind us because we're not as far as we want to be, then we're missing the growth. We're missing the celebration of the growth that we have taken along the way. So that's what I want for you. That's what I want for myself. To be comfortable in the growth. To remember to see the growth. To celebrate the growth. That's what I want. If you could close your eyes for a moment and bow your heads, I want to pray for us today. God, we're grateful to be empowered. We're grateful for the faith that we have, that each small step we take forward, that when we look back, we don't just look back at what we've missed. We don't just look back at what we've done wrong. We don't just look back at what we don't have, but we remember to celebrate the growth. God, open our eyes this week to see the growth in our life spiritually, to see the growth in our life relationally, to see where we have changed and learned and adjusted and grown. So we thank you for that. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Heart Podcast. At The Heart, we like to say you don't have to go to church here to go to church here. That means you are already part of the community just by listening to the message today. If today's message connected with you, we want to invite you to share it with someone who may benefit from it. We would love to be a part of your journey of faith. Please visit us online at www.theheart.church/next to see what your next step may be. And if you live near San Marcos, Texas, we would like to invite you to visit us in person this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Remember to be bold this week and connect with those around you. It's how your relationships grow and how your faith grows.